Hello and welcome back to Quiver, the Green Arrow podcast. This is our seventh episode of season two for the Arrow episode State versus Queen. I am one of your hosts, Michael Cohen, along with me.
I am your other host, Amanda Konkin. It's nice to talk to you folks again.
Incredibly nice to talk to all of you new folks. Last week we thought we had a bunch of new listeners. Holy smokes. The lid has been blown entirely off. We've had quite the week. In the quiver.
Yeah. Thank you, everyone, for the amazing support of the podcast. I think we're up to, almost 2,500 likes on our Facebook page. Yeah. And all because the enigmatic, amazing Stephen Amell posted about us on his Facebook wall. So that's the power of social media, folks. Yeah. We welcome you to the conversation and looking forward to talking to all of you, obviously, Arrow fans out there as well.
And the feedback so far, it's one thing just to get a bunch of new followers. Mm-hmm. It's one thing just to get a bunch of downloads, but then to receive the comments on the website, the emails, the tweets, the messages on Facebook.
The new friends on Facebook.
Yeah, the new friends on Facebook. All very positive, very supportive stuff, which is really cool.
Because the reason we do this.
The whole point is getting out there and trying to produce a good podcast that people will enjoy. And to have everybody tell us, let us know that is in fact what's happening. That's why we do it, right? Yeah. That's why Amanda and I sit down every week to have this conversation with all of you listeners. And to have the feedback going both ways and the awesome discussions that are going on in the group. This is everything that we wanted.
So thanks, everybody. Yes. Let's keep going. I will point out, if you're new, we really love all the praise, but we really love also having genuine conversations with people.
Yep.
So, I mean, don't troll us. Just stop listening if you're going to troll. But we obviously are always open to conversations if people have contrary opinions to what we're talking about on the show.
Oh, yeah.
Or really want to open up a dialogue or something. We really like it when people are commenting on different things. If we have criticisms, obviously some of the things we've heard before and we know when we're dealing with it, or some things are new. So we are always genuinely, we like the good stuff, but if you have other things to say, we'll engage with conversations with you, which is great, and we always just want to try to produce the best thing for you and keep you listening and engage with the show, so because we all want to talk about Arrow because it's amazing and have more of it in our lives, so the podcast is here.
Let's jump into our mailbag, though, and hear from some of our listeners.
Thanks, everyone, for emailing us. So, again, if you want to be part of our mail, you can email us, mail@quiverpodcast.com. So these are some of the emails that have come in today. So I'll read the first one from Tim Thompson. Thanks for emailing us, Tim. And the subject line is, Arrow, OMG, !!3 times. Only read after the show. That's how it first starts. So thank you, Tim, for that. Again, the spoiler warning.
For the heads up.
You like it. And then it goes into, first off, congratulations on storing the interview with... On storing? I read that whole sentence wrong. I'm going to try it one more time. First off, congrats on scoring the interview with Stephen Amell. I can't wait to hear it. Secondly, the last 2 minutes of tonight's episode was amongst the best 2 minutes of any time in the show. I don't think there is another show on TV that can match the awesomeness of Arrow. It is just superb every week. I can't wait to hear you guys talk about this episode. So that's Tim from Cincinnati. Thank you, Tim. Not any spoilers in that, but thanks for letting us know that we shouldn't read it until after the episode. But we think so, too. We appreciate you congratulating us on the interview. We are in email communication with Stephen Amell,
which is pretty
cool.
We're setting things up.
So we'll keep everybody updated.
Yeah, hopefully we should have something for you guys sooner rather than later. But
he's quite busy.
Yeah, he's a busy guy. So we're working on that, working very hard. We're very, very thankful both to Stephen and to all of you guys.
Yeah.
Because honestly, we keep getting congratulations from all of the listeners. But the truth is that we would not be getting this opportunity if not for the fact that 2 weeks ago, or a week ago, when Stephen Amell asked everybody what's the best Arrow podcast, it was a fairly resounding voice that said Quiver is the favorite out there. I mean, there are other awesome ones, the Longbow Hunters, Green Arrow TV.
There's a few, there's a couple
other, and if you go back into Stephen Amell's comments and you troll down there, you can see that there are actually a lot of Green Arrow podcasts out there. And good podcasts as well. Like people who've been doing this for a long time, commentating about Arrow is not their first show. So to be even just among those people, to be mentioned among everybody else, amongst those top podcasts is awesome. That's really cool. To be called out by a lot of people as the one that stands above is
pretty sweet.
Yeah, that's it's pretty incredible. Because like we say, we're the best produced, least professional podcast on the internet. Because we just want to have a conversation with you guys. Yeah. They say we don't have segments as it was. No fancy sound effects or silly things like that.
So what that means is that at this interview, we want questions from everybody.
Yes.
And so we want people to send us, if you have a question that you'd like us to ask Steven, or if you want to be part of that conversation, please send us email. mail@coverpodcast.com is probably the easiest way to do that.
Yeah. And I know that this is hard for some people to remember when they're in the heat of thinking of their question. But if you can, put the subject line, question for Steven Amell. That way I can actually filter them all, add a label, and then we have all of them in a nice handy list, and it'll be easy to go through them. So if you are very adamant about having your question read when we interview Steven, then make sure that you do that. Question for Steven Amell in the subject line. That'll really help us out.
Yeah. So thank you very much, everybody.
Yes. Why don't you read the next email?
I will. Yeah, we'll stop praising you all. We'll get back into this email. I feel like our podcast the last couple of weeks have turned into you are the best. Thank you so much.
They are the best.
They are. It has to be. So we appreciate you listening to us for 5 minutes praising you all.
We'll be able to stop gushing in about a week or so after our heads come out of the clouds.
Yeah, because it's pretty great.
Yeah, get back to things.
Pretty great. So this is another email from Tony Johnson. It's sort of echoes a lot of things that Tim was talking about, and the subject line here is "What the freak," which was all exclamation and capitals with exclamation points. So it's very, very adamant. First, love the podcast. Always look forward to it. Not going to go into the show, but wow! I screamed at the TV and scared my family. Can't wait to hear your thoughts on the show. So again, so that's Tony Johnson. Thank you for emailing us that. There's so many people that are really excited about this week's episode, and as Tim mentioned, the last 2 minutes of this show just absolutely mind-blowing.
Ridiculous.
What is happening with this show? These writers are the worst.
The best way.
Where they just, I'm watching the show going, all right, yeah, Moira, and and then she doesn't get convicted, and then what happens?
Maybe we'll find out next episode what happened. Amanda and I sat here during, in the interim between, the verdict and then Oliver being like, what the heck?
Yeah.
And then later saying, I just don't understand. Yeah. I expected a conviction.
Yeah.
The whole time that all of that was going on, Amanda and I were looking at each other going like, what's going on?
Yeah.
We're throwing
names at each other.
Yeah,
who is it? Is it Walter?
We threw out every name you can think of. We're like, is it Ra's al Ghul?
Yeah.
Who could it be? Who could it be? And then who it was, being Malcolm, what? We did not see that coming, right? And we watch this show twice a week, every week, and we talk about it for an hour and a half. You would think that we'd have some sort of a hint at something.
And we've gone over this because three times on the podcast we confirmed that they talk about Malcolm Merling being dead, which means that there were multiple people on the show, characters, who confirmed that Malcolm Merling was dead. And yet, you know what, Arrow writers? I'm okay with it because in one line, he made me okay with him coming back to life. Yeah. And that was, there are places in the world where you can make death seem like an illusion or whatever it was.
That was it.
And I'm just like, you know what? I believe you and you are bad.
For those who might not know, and I'm going to assume that you're one of them, Amanda.
Probably.
That is a reference to Ra's al Ghul and the Lazarus Pit. Ra's al Ghul is actually famous in the comics for never dying. He always comes back. He has been killed several times, and he's essentially immortal because he has this thing called the Lazarus Pit. That, you know, Lazarus being a story from the Bible of a guy that Jesus brought back to life. So the name of it is very apt.
I was going to go, there's a Doctor Who episode, actually, called The Lazarus Experiment. Anyway, sorry, continue.
So, yeah, the Lazarus Pit is this thing that he... It's like a hot tub. It's like a glowing green hot tub, as animated in Batman the Animated Series, that he just lowers himself into and comes back out reinvigorated and youthful. And not necessarily youthful, but, like, strong and all that sort of thing. In the Dark Knight movies, they sort of explained it away as the demon's head, which is what Ra's al Ghul actually means. That's what that name means. It was Ken Watanabe was supposed to be, like, we were supposed to believe that he was Ra's al Ghul, but then it turned out that Liam Neeson was, and that was the immortal thing of, like, that it was a title passed
on,
and that who you think is Ra's al Ghul might not actually be Ra's al Ghul, and that he, even as he was training Batman, was someone, pulling the strings from behind the scenes, and that Ken Watanabe's character was a puppet, so they've, in the DC movie universe, in the previous one, they've sort of made it like a weird sort of analogy to the Lazarus Pit, but I think what we're getting from Arrow is that the Lazarus Pit might not be as fictitious as it has been in other incarnations.
Yeah,
it
and
might,
I mean,
be a legit thing.
It's an interesting thing because he says, I make people look like I'm dead. So at that point, it could be that
convincing.
He wasn't dead. Right, so there's these two options that if you go with sort of the more... What they've been doing in the show is sort of like explaining away things, right? So if you explain it away, he's been trained so well as to make people think he's dead. Or there's a magic pit that he gets brought back from the dead. So there's two options here, and we can figure out which one it is.
Yeah.
But so that's very interesting, and you know what? I believe it, so I'm good.
With what they've been doing on the island with the Japanese experiments, and knowing that Barry Allen's coming up, our first glimpse, our first official, maybe not our first official because we might have seen a photo, but our first on-screen glimpse of Barry Allen in the preview this week.
There was Stephen Amell's like cover photo for a really long time.
It's not, but like we've known who it is and we've had set photos.
Yeah.
But
this is
like official from the actual show.
Mm-hmm.
So that's exciting. So we know that stuff's coming up. We know that they superpowers are coming. So the idea that they Ra's al Ghul and the Lazarus Pit are connected to this somehow, not beyond the realm, right?
Yeah.
Like I think we're gonna see a lot of crazy stuff before this season is out. I mean, let me rework that sentence. We have seen some crazy stuff this season, and it's only gonna get crazier.
Yeah.
I think the biggest thing is that I don't count anybody out of anything ever at any point. I mean, man, even Count Vertigo dying at the end of this episode.
Was...
But then, immediately after that, what do we get? We get Brother Blood and his experiments are working.
Yeah.
Well, Vertigo is working for Brother Blood.
Yeah.
Brother Blood is also he's going to run for mayor. Or might run
something,
for people want him.
I
can't remember what his title is.
Right. Oh yeah. I don't know what it is. He's there.
He will have access, I think, to that body.
And
there could be some cover up stuff going on there.
Yeah.
So I'm sure that he was the one who covered
up the
breakout, right?
Yeah.
So
there's so many and this I legit thought Moira was maybe gonna get killed.
That's what we were expecting. Like,
they give
I
you
thought
that nice moment. Like this show is so brilliant.
Window.
They give you the moment where they're like, maybe she's gonna get in the car.
But there are some fates worse than death. That's the thing, is where she is
now.
So much worse than if she had just died. Like she's gonna be regretting
not dying.
Just being like, I plead guilty, just
don't do
lethal injection, get it over with.
Do it.
Because I'm pretty sure that Malcolm's gonna make her life a living hell.
Thea, I could see... this is, like, the thing, and I'll just... Maybe I should talk about it when we actually get there, but, like, Thea has a switch that could go either way, and I think that, like, a really interesting thing is we're throwing her constantly in conflict with Moira and feeling super betrayed, feeling like she's not good enough.
Yeah.
This, finding out she is Malcolm's kid, do you have any idea? And now, and her beating up on Roy, right? Yeah. There's two ways. The writers, and you're like, what are you going to do? Are you going to make Thea, like, become Speedy and help Arrow? Or are you going to have her become, like, Malcolm's apprentice and, like, want to stop, like, not lie to people and Malcolm would never lie to her or whatever? Like, there's just something and you don't know what it is and it could be either and I would believe both of them and I'm just so excited. And now I'm excited. This is the first time I think I've ever said that about Thea's plot. I think in the history of doing this podcast where I'm like, ooh, Thea, what's going to happen?
Yeah.
So,
yeah, it's ridiculous what they managed to do in about 90 seconds. Yeah.
That's it, because I was underwhelmed with the first half. I was like, well, Vertigo's back.
Yeah, it was just kind
of
like
a couple things that were cool. But
it seemed like, because like last week's episode felt like a bit of a, like a break.
Yeah.
Right? A break from the mythology with Sarah gone from Starling City.
Yeah.
It was sort of like, okay, let's get back to the business of putting bad guys away and that sort of thing, rather than dealing with the League of Shadows. But then with this episode, it seemed like we were in for it again, and then they had the, like, oh, but I'm working for someone, to which we were like, who is he working for?
Yeah. That, trying to figure that out. All these names.
Yeah. And then it's like, oh, he's working for Brother Blood. Okay, that's one of the reveals. That's cool. Because everybody was on Facebook posting, like, OMG, shockers,
crazy stuff. And we're like,
crazy stuff.
Yeah,
and so we're like, oh, that's one of the reveals.
Yeah.
It's like, no, that was inconsequential to anything at all at this point.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
We
still
have another email.
Yeah, we have one more email. This is an important email.
Okay.
Especially with stuff that happens later on in this episode.
Okay.
So this is from Michelle Hurt. She says, let's see, the subject is Arrow and shipping.
Oh. I had a Facebook post about this.
She says, hi, Mike and Amanda. I'm writing in to take a bit of issue with something Amanda said on the last episode with regard to Oliver and Felicity. I am admittedly a proud shipper of these two, and I understand that shipping, like most things, is subjective. In the episode, Oliver said that he couldn't be with someone who he could care about. This is essentially the exact same stance he had with Laurel for most of season one. My question is, would you have had the same reaction to the scene if Oliver had been speaking to Laurel instead of Felicity? Amanda complained about it being false hope, and if you're preoccupied with an endgame scenario, maybe it is. But speaking for myself, that's not what shipping is about. It's more about exploring relationships. The fact of the matter is Felicity is the most important female relationship that Ollie has currently, because she knows everything, good and bad. I think the writers have an obligation to explore that in all its facets, including a potentially romantic one. If it doesn't ultimately pan out, that doesn't mean it's a waste of time. Done right, it can be a way for character growth, and isn't that something we all want? I tried to keep this as short as I could. Sorry if it's a bit long. Keep up the excellent work. And that's Michelle from Nashville, Tennessee. It was a little bit of a longer email, but I felt like there were some really good points in there about shipping and about this relationship specifically. Yeah. So yeah, I'll allow you for your rebuttal.
I just want to actually just point out, I actually noticed that not everybody is the same and understands what shipping means. So first of all, I'm going to explain that because even within my close group of friends, I'll talk about shipping and they won't know. So the shipping is just, you know, comes from the word relationship. What are the shows, the characters in the show that you're sort of rooting for? And what was her name in the email?
Michelle.
Michelle. The way that Michelle has explained that is quite beautiful, actually. Really, it is about relationships. I literally have this... I don't know if people know. I have a series that I'm working on. It's like a web series. And I was talking about this with a bunch
What's it called?
It's called Blank Verse. You can find it at blankverse.tv. It's about William Shakespeare in a modern context with all of his writers in university. It's quite fun. But we were talking about this. I had one of the cast members who got like a fan tweet and was confused about what shipping meant. He didn't understand why people can be invested in these characters. He didn't know what it was. And we had this huge thread, everybody just explaining how people can be invested in different characters. So I've actually... This happened within the last week, and I've become softer, if you'll notice. I don't know if you've listened to some of the earlier where I was super anti-Felicity and Oliver, but people have started to, you know, break me out of it a little bit, and I realized that my opinions were perhaps a little bit overtly negative. It's because my initial reaction when it comes to shipping is I automatically think that people are talking about romantic love, and they're priding that over top of all other kinds of relationships. Mm-hmm. But it's what she's pointed out beautifully in this email is that it's not. It's about exploring the breadth and depth of those relationships.
Yeah.
And in that case, I actually think this was the first episode. No, I did kind of cringe a little bit when it was happening, but not like not as actively as I have before, because it was beautiful and genuine. And that was what I was getting at. I didn't want them to just sort of throw this female character and be like, someone that Ollie can have a relationship with. That's not Laurel.
Yeah.
Laurel's relationship with Ollie bothers me, and I don't know what the context was that she was comparing it to, but it probably would have been something that bothered me. I don't know. It depends
it
on
was,
like,
it, the... It was the idea... Yeah. It was sort of that... superhero love trope of...
Right, like, I don't want to hurt you.
Yeah, I can't be with you because...
Yeah, that bothers me. That would have bothered me in any context. I just want to, like, support myself there that, yes, I genuinely believe that that's a cop-out thing when people are like, I can't be with you because I love you too much and it's going to hurt you, which is fine. It's, like, what 95% of online or of, like, mainstream drama is.
Yeah.
But the way that they're explaining this, so if it's not just that and it's about them sort of exploring this and him stopping himself from even going there... I understand that maybe a little bit more. And genuinely, after this relationship, or after this episode, I think that they handled it quite well. And I'm more open to possibilities with the two of them.
I think one thing about Oliver that I think we think as an audience that we know where he's coming from on this.
Mm-hmm.
But with this episode and what they're setting up on the island,
mm-hmm.
And... Sarah's comment about Shadow a couple weeks ago, and a lot of the stuff around that, I think we know parts of the story, but we don't know the whole thing.
Yeah.
And so Oliver's attitudes towards love and romance, mm-hmm. I think it's a liability, not for him. I mean, it definitely gets him into trouble because then he's worried about somebody else.
Yeah.
But it gets the people that he cares about into trouble, and then they end up at odds. This is what's happened with him and Laurel.
Yeah.
This is what's happening with him and Shadow, with Sarah.
Yeah.
He's got a kind of a history of leading women into danger. So
I actually figured out what it is in today's episode that made me okay with their relationship. It's at the end that Felicity apologizes to him for putting him in that situation on an equal footing. And I think that that's the first moment that I've ever gotten from, like, as much as they sort of said, and they said it out a couple times, that people just expect Felicity to do all these things, and she does. When, you know, Diggle's asking her to do these crazy things, and she's like, I wonder what it would take to impress you guys. Because I always constantly feel like that's a thing, that Felicity just sort of does what they tell her to.
Yeah.
But it's me starting to realize that, no, she actually... I don't know, it's that equal footing thing, which I'm okay with. So I don't like it when it's a one-sided, like, there's a hero that needs to have all these challenges and love is one of them. But when it becomes a team working together and facing those challenges together, and there's possible romantic entanglement, I'm actually now kind of excited to see where this could go.
I think more than anything, it's the, it's sort of the workplace aspect of it, that, like, they are around each other all the time.
Yeah.
I think what Michelle said about the fact that Felicity is the only female in his life.
Yeah.
Right now. Other Sarah was kind of, is now gone.
Yeah.
That knows
who
he is, both sides, right? Mm-hmm. The public side and the private side, the good and the bad. Like, she knows everything.
Yeah.
And I think definitely with this season... with a lot of what's happened, and I think you're right, they, Oliver feels like they are equals now, right? It's kind of like the relationship that he built up with Diggle over the beginning of last season.
Yeah.
I think that he's getting there with Felicity as well, where she's not just there to do the tech stuff. She's a part of the team, right? She goes in the field with them. She, like... One of the things that they need to do in light of what happened in this episode is they need to spend a little bit of time showing that Diggle and Oliver are training her to handle herself.
Because
I think that's something that character needs.
Yeah.
Not because...
She's not going to be the fighter.
Like, no, I don't think that she should be a fighter, but I think that she should have... Like, I think it's unrealistic for them to keep putting her in these positions...
Yeah.
and to not ever teach her to defend herself or to get out of the situations, right? Yeah. Like, she's been... Her spunk and everything will get her so far.
Yeah.
But as we saw in this episode, she's a little bit out of her
depth. She's vulnerable.
Yeah, when
I would love her to have super cool tech gadgets, like a wrist thing or something that if people
I would want it to be in her own way. That would be a really cool way to explore the character, is to have them training her and have her beat Oliver in some way that he wasn't expecting, and for her to go, look, I'm not going to do it the way that you do it,
but I can handle
myself, right? Just because I think we've seen that strength in her character, but we haven't seen it enacted in that way, where she has been in a lot of situations where she's, like you said, vulnerable. And I just don't want her to fall into, like, a Chloe
or a
Lana Lois.
Yeah.
I mean, Lois I wouldn't put there.
I want her to become Lois. Yeah, right? if she goes the Lois route, I'm completely fine with that.
Yeah.
But it's the Lana route that she does that... And it's not both Lana routes. Either the, like, I can't help myself, or I'm now a superhero.
Yeah, I've
like,
been
both of those would be awful.
although, let's just say I just want to go on record. I don't know if you agree with me on this, Amanda, but I fully support the Black Driver movement. That's Diggle's. That's Diggle's code name is Black Driver.
Who posted that on our Facebook wall? I think it was Mel. Did Mel post that on our Facebook?
I think Mel was one. I think it got posted
a couple
twice.
People?
But I think that Stephen Amell had actually originally posted it, and that Mel had posted it on our Facebook group.
Mm-hmm.
I am behind Black Driver
as
100%. Well, I've been saying since last season that Diggle needs his own superhero idea. And I do like the idea of Diggle having a domino mask and a suit, because it's like that kind of harkens back to like Green Hornet and the real Green Hornet, not the Seth Rogen Green Hornet.
I love Mike had to lean into the microphone to just reiterate that.
I just want to make sure that was coming across crystal clear, because we're talking like old school 60s Green Hornet, Kato, Bruce Lee as Kato. That sort of vibe. Like that, when you see that picture of him with the, he's in the suit and he's sort
totally
of got his hands in front of him.
And
like he looks like he's his hardcore Black Driver. And that's just a reference back to a couple episodes ago when he goes, I'm just your Black Driver.
And that's, it's
but I love it. I just think that's one of the best things to come out.
I'm just looking forward to seeing what they do with Diggle as like an actual character and like who he gets the potential to become. So I just can't, this whole show. Let's just watch the episode again.
Let's get into it. Okay,
there's so much to talk about.
We are starting the episode now with the previews.
We're the little like arrow. I really like that shot with the Diggle in the background there. And so all of these things, it seemed like they're so far in the past where he was
one arm push-ups.
And
I'm working on that,
I'm working on the
push-ups.
Maybe
I'm not
you need to do a push-up off with Stephen Amell when we're interviewing him.
No, that won't end well.
It won't happen.
I'm at about 15 push-ups right now before I fall over half dead.
Okay. So here's the previously. That was a nice shot of that boat. We get a lot from the previously on in terms of what the tone of the episode is going to be. A lot, they actually did focus a lot on Thea's relationship with her mom, which is interesting, right? It's not just about, and I get that that's setting up, but like they didn't just do it once, they did it sort of three times, which makes you realize that like this relationship with her mom is really important and Thea is really important and maybe we should pay attention to this and see how it goes.
Yeah, these previously ons aren't goofing around.
No,
they're important. They're giving you all the important information for this episode. Yeah. I like that we start 6 months ago,
which
the season finale.
Oh, can I just say, this was brilliant. With Count Vertigo breaking out, I'll talk about when we actually get there, but I was super impressed with this.
Yeah.
And so we go, because we know Vertigo's coming back, and so they could have just started with Vertigo, you know, being in the present.
Yeah,
day.
We already got the line in the Dollmaker episode about like when
the prison was broken into.
When the quake happened.
But now we get to see it. And how many episodes ago was Dollmaker? It was a couple episodes ago, hey?
It was the second or third episode of the season.
So the fact that we're now in the prisons when, six months ago when the earthquake is happening.
Yeah.
And we see that Vertigo then is obviously at Iron Heights.
Yeah.
I don't know if we knew which I personally just remember him being really drugged up, and I thought he was going to die, actually, is what I thought was going to happen with Vertigo.
Yeah.
He was gone crazy. So we're establishing that he was just in jail with all these really creepy photos on his wall when the earthquake happens. And luckily for him, this sort of...
There's one of those pictures, the one right behind his head, looked like a guy sort of like skewered with a whole bunch of arrows.
Maybe that's interesting. But luckily his was the only door that broke off, and the guard was hit in the head, so he luckily gets these keys.
The open eye dead stare is like the creepiest. Yeah.
And then look at this. So this body. Is the first hint that we didn't really like Vertigo when he first was there a couple times, but look at this, where he's going through and checking out all of the villains, and he stops on the doll maker. I just think that this is so brilliant that we already know that the doll maker comes back. Like, we've already had that episode. Yeah. And just, like, this is what makes this show outstanding.
Yeah.
Like, it's not that Vertigo got out and, like, let the doll maker, like, it's not that they were all broken out of jail all at once because of this. But that it was actually Vertigo that let out the Dollmaker.
Also, like, I love that framing of the crack in the wall being a giant V as he steps out. That's just really cool, clever design.
I was
subtle,
so
right? Like, you have to sort of be thinking about it in that way.
But still, it's so brilliant. So here we have the Vancouver Art Gallery and being brought up, so lots of reporters and the conversation about it being actually about the Queen's siblings, I think, right? That they're really going to utilize them in the trial.
The reporters trying to get anything they can out of Oliver and Thea as they walk up, and then Laurel and the DA talking about how, like, they're going to be kind of the key to it.
Laurel? Kind of interesting in this episode, because I feel like they're setting things up with her, which is great. They're bringing in these cutaways to the island much faster than they have been in the past. Like, we're really getting them right away, that we're knowing that we're going to go to the island and have it just as important. We know that they were going to find Chateau and Slade in this airplane. So we've actually got that. Like, that's how it opens up, which is great.
I'm going to toss an explosive in there.
Yeah.
And
I love that but they don't have 4 minutes to wait. They're just going to blow it up and walk away.
Yeah.
Because why would they need to check to make sure that it blew up or not?
Yeah.
I don't, anyways, whatever. Some villains are just the worst. I don't know why he's going through that small crack. There's like a full opening to the plane that he could have gone in to look in it. Also, he didn't do a very good job of looking in the plane. Just going to say.
They were hiding.
Because obviously.
Hiding. I really love that makeup.
Isn't
on Slade.
Great.
So cool. Foreshadowing.
So amazing.
And
then we have, you know, Chateau proving her worth here, undoing that bomb at 3 minutes to, or 3 seconds to it exploding.
Yeah.
Super cool. I think this is one of the first times she gets in full getup. I don't think I've seen her in the full getup before.
She wore the hood once before.
But not like staring people
She was training Oliver.
Yeah, she was wearing it.
Whole episode that was essentially a montage of him learning how to fire an arrow.
But this is, I'm actually, that's one of my, that was one of my favorite parts later on when we get her. And so we have Diggle. Just everybody, hopefully everybody noticed that they talked about him getting vaccinated like 3 times.
Yeah.
So, you know.
You got a flu shot, you guys.
Just pay attention, that might be important. But this is kind of a cute thing where it's like, no, we don't actually need you as a bodyguard right now. We are in a courtroom with lots of
cops. Yeah, you take 5.
Yeah. Not enough detective lines.
Take 5,
episode.
Black driver.
That's my only...
no detective lines.
No, I know. This is upsetting.
So not enough. 0 being not enough. That's,
zero,
that's fair, I
zero
guess.
0 means not enough. I want more detective lines.
I like Roy in the suit.
Oh.
He looks very dapper in this episode.
I don't think I even noticed.
Yeah, he doesn't. You know, he doesn't have any lines.
Yeah, which is just great. You know, you're paying him anyways.
Maybe he does. Well, yeah, I guess he does, because later on he does with the.
But not in this court.
Not in any of these court scenes.
Yeah,
he's just sort of there.
Yeah.
So
they're doing a great job. Like, you totally. I mean, they spent so much time at this trial and you're just like, there's no way she's not going to be convicted. No, I was like, I don't think that they're going to convict her. Actually, it was one of those things, like, maybe she will get put on, like, go on to the death row, or maybe, like, but again, they never do what we expect
her to do. I expected her to be convicted, but not sentenced to death.
Yeah.
Right? That yeah. that it would be just shy of that, yeah. that, like, that would be considered a victory.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Like I said, what she got is much worse.
Oh, it
much,
is.
Much worse.
And it makes me care about her character again, because at this point I'm yeah. kind of like, they're wrapping up Moira's character, yeah. we might not see her for a while, but now I'm like, it's all gonna be about Moira!
Yeah.
I don't even know how to deal with that. So...
Star Labs particle accelerator mention.
Will be turned on right on schedule.
Yeah, next, well, 2 weeks from now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
In the season finale.
Well, possibly 3 weeks. I guess it'll probably be something we'll towards see. The end it of might the episode. Be.
Yeah.
But I...
Who knows? We'll see what's going to happen with that.
Yeah,
and a flash reference if you didn't get the yeah. flash reference. So, finding a replacement bodyguard, which is kind of cool. He's going to do it himself. And then here's Felicity mentioning about the flu shot and how she didn't get one conveniently.
Because she doesn't like pointy things, which is ironic. I like that line.
Yeah.
They give her the best lines
they
on
do.
This
she
show.
She does have the best lines. It's good. And Diggle collapsing. So obviously something is happening here. And now we have, I guess, a scientist guy or something?
He's like yeah, a doctor or something. Yeah.
So then you're like, oh, a doctor who perhaps gives flu vaccinations.
Yes.
Or science project, I guess. Which is good. And here, you know, rule one, never,
you know, don't negotiate
with a bad guy.
Well, just yeah. don't negotiate.
Yeah.
If a supervillain ever backs you into a corner and makes you do their bidding,
yeah.
you say yes, sir, and do what they do say, it. And you wait for the superhero to show up and yeah. rescue you.
Yeah.
And when they do, you throw yourself on the ground and you say, I'm sorry, yeah. you made me do it. Thank yeah. you for saving me.
Yeah.
But don't try and get more yeah. money out of the psychopath.
Yeah, it's good.
There was no money in that briefcase to begin
yeah.
with. Like,
yeah.
I think we all
oh,
know
shit.
That.
I'm liking... So I think one of the reasons I like Count Vertigo more in this one than the ones that he's been in before is that he wasn't as spastic in his movements and that they really
he
just
wasn't
did
bouncing
it through
around.
His... Yeah, they just did it through yeah. his voice, which I'm okay with. Like, the way that they were able to concentrate
yeah.
him... and he was still a bit, it was still a bit much, right? I mean, his yeah. voice is still a little bit quirky, but they did it in such a way that he's really, he's now a scary villain, right? So, commercials are over and back to
yeah, we're back
the action.
Commercial break.
Diggle.
Diggle's not doing so well. It's looking kind of like withdrawal.
And
you say gah and thud.
She does have the best lines. It's,
yeah.
it's pretty good. I love that they have, like, a light table. I don't even know what that... Is that just... I guess it's just a table that they... I don't know. She has, like, great little stories.
They're just moments.
It's
it
just
keeps
moments,
the,
yeah.
It keeps the show light enough.
Yeah. yeah.
But they're not...
Yeah.
I don't know. It's similar to Chloe, but it's
yeah.
not as in-your-face as
yeah.
Chloe's one-liner
yeah.
puns and
yeah.
stuff like that.
I realize people might not know. We're talking about Smallville, if you're new to the podcast, whenever we go off on tangents about Chloe and Lana. I don't know. There are surprisingly people in this world who have
there
not
are
watched
surprisingly. You should go pick up.
You will be fewer if you keep
set.
Listening to the podcast. You will
yeah.
you will not be able to withstand it anymore. So here, talking really about this poignant moment where they're talking about him saying there's no more killing and her really understanding that is really it's really effective when it comes
yeah.
back later on, right? So.
But thankfully, he's got some anti-vertigo
mm-hmm.
Loaded up into an arrow, ready to go, just in case the count comes back. And then we're back in the courtroom, and Thea's on the stand. Mm-hmm. And everything that Thea was worried about in testifying kind of comes to fruition here.
Yeah.
Although, I personally don't think that what she said was that
I don't think
damning.
It was bad at all. I actually think that it makes a lot of sense that you'd be really mad at your mom
yeah.
for lying to you. Like,
yeah.
that makes sense. But she forgave him,
and
now she loves her mom,
yeah.
right?
So, what happens later in the episode is really the nail.
Yeah, that's
coffin,
that's the
right?
thing that happens, yeah.
But I do, like, this had to happen in order to set that moment
yeah.
up, right?
Yeah.
Moira had to be pushed into...
Yeah.
testifying.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this was the moment to do it. Mm-hmm. But first we find out that the DA is in fact afflicted with
not
this
doing too well.
This vertigo.
Yeah. I'm surprised that more people aren't passing out because of their not enough people getting flu shots, I guess, in Starling City.
I guess so. I don't know if that's like pro or we were trying to figure out if this was some sort of like
anti-Obamacare
or whatever. Some sort of pro
Obamacare.
maybe it's pro Obamacare because if more people were with Obamacare, more people could afford vaccinations.
And they wouldn't have to go to those traveling cars or whatever it is. I don't know. Who knows? I don't know what quirky U.S. healthcare systems are doing.
You
Let's
guys
talk about the
Oh, answer. That was an awesome transition.
I know, right? Because I was so like, is that ominous? Does that mean that the vertigo is somehow linked to these dead skeletons? What? That was... Their transitions are just so flawless between the island and the... I think there was only one in this. What's a hosen, by the way? Is that the first time that we've heard him call it that?
The arrowhead.
Yeah, so it's the arrowhead, but what, like, we don't know what it...
I don't know. It like, could be a Japanese word for something. Yeah, maybe. If somebody out there knows, somebody knows some
what
Japanese.
A hosen is. But it's sort of interesting. So, who was it that grabbed the arrowhead originally? Was that Ollie that got it?
It was Oliver.
Yeah, that got it. And he has it. In modern day, he has it, hey? Like, or he gave
no,
it to Thea?
No, Thea has it.
Okay, interesting. Yeah, so, again, coming back, that was, like, one of the first things, hey? This, yeah. She looks so cool here in this outfit.
Yeah.
For this reveal. And so does he. Like, Slade, what? Oh,
I just,
man,
it's
look
so
at them.
Good. They're
it's
so good.
Great.
Because the eye is blacked out.
Oh, it's just so good.
The evolution of that character is interesting to watch.
Yeah. And so we get a slight reprieve in the trial because the... Because
the DA is going to die?
Yeah.
Or feels like it, at least.
We don't know.
And then... This was a nice turn that Vertigo is actually driving the ambulance.
Yeah.
Not a good thing.
Yeah.
Not a good thing.
Yeah. Explaining sort of explaining away why she's going to need to go on trial. Or be... What is it? Testify. There we go.
She doesn't want to, but Oliver's going to push her in that direction.
Jean. I had no idea what her attorney's name is. Her attorney's name is Jean, in case anybody cares.
Nope. Not anymore. It's all over.
It's all
like,
over.
It's done.
It's
we don't need to worry about this
plot line
anymore.
Can I just say, I don't know, it's because it was never a thing, but kudos to them. She has, like, a female lawyer.
Yes.
It's not, like, a thing, but, like, it's just, like, a character that happens to be...
But I do think in the climate right now of sort of being that sort of thing is scrutinized a lot, and I think that the writers on this show, not just the writers but also showrunners and directors, do a really good job of making sure that there's good representation.
Yeah, which is great
on the show.
So we've noticed here now that Diggle, Ollie thinks that he didn't take the anecdote. Antidote. But he has. So what he is, he's just got terrible withdrawal, right? So it's like some sort of crazy system. And in the background, look at this shot. That's so great. And you just see the TV come in and it shifts focus. Man, this show is good.
So Vertigo is taking over the airwaves and he's threatening the assistant. The DA.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know why it's... Is it because he knows that all... No, he doesn't
know
all. No,
he's using this as an opportunity to show everybody that they need Vertigo in order to deal with it.
Right.
Because what he's done
is
made people feel... Like, they're hooked on it, right?
Right.
Like, this drug has instantly hooked them.
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing that can help them is to actually... take Vertigo. So he's just creating
I was confused by what it was he did for a while until I realized that he got them addicted to Vertigo. I think they explain it later where she was talking about how they could get, again, the writers explained it away with one line and I'm okay with it. When Felicity's like, try heroin once, and I explained it away for me, I'm like, oh, okay, sure, fair enough.
They just found a way to introduce it into people's system so that they would be hooked.
But it's interesting. It's that it gets at that moral sort of center for, I wonder how Adam is going to have to deal with this as sort of a repercussion, just as a, you know, the DA on camera. That could be interesting.
Yeah.
If they bring it up again, I don't know. Usually I trust the writers enough to sort of include it in some capacity as a thing. I love how Felicity, I don't know, just gets given commands or asks for what he wants her to do.
More commercials.
Commercials. We've got our... We better not fast forward later. I think the...
Boats. Yeah, the next break is the Blood Rush one.
Which is entertaining, more or less. So it's good. I mean, sort of just general, the first two acts in this episode, just very sort of, you know, leading up to an interesting place. Again, thinking it's very much about Count Vertigo and an episode about, you know, the villain and what he's done for the city. Yeah. And affecting things. But we find out it's much more than that. So we're back here with Diggle.
They're trying to locate the broadcast, but he's used a Star Labs satellite to bounce the signal off of. Yeah. So he's untraceable.
Do you love how the subtitles actually titled it S.T.A.R? Yeah. Which, you know, good for them. So again, them trying to figure out what it is that they've all consumed that could get them. They really sort of hammered it down our throats. And we have this, the ongoing commentary about the trial, which is kind of interesting, and then obviously talking about Vertigo and the trial, two separate things. And this is the first time that we've been introduced, I think, to the head DA, right, to the DA, who, again, a woman. I just noticed that.
Oh, yeah.
Because it wasn't, like, a thing, but...
And cool. Laurel's going to have to take over...
Adam's trial.
The case.
Yeah.
Which is really weird, because it is a bit of a conflict of interest.
Mm-hmm.
And we are going to see how that plays out. But very interesting that Blood is there.
Yeah.
That he's present for this.
Yeah.
He's we know that he's got a bit of a stake in it, that the Glades is kind of his constituency.
Yeah.
And so, Laurel? So this does matter to him, but very interesting that he's there.
The subtle plot line in this
that
no one paid attention to, and I think the writers meant for it to happen, was Laurel. I actually, near the end of this episode...
Oh, she's being pushed to the edge.
Like,
yeah.
Until that end beat, and you don't notice it. And I sort
she's
of...
She's losing.
Yeah, I sort of went on my general kick, how I always do, watching it, going, ugh, Laurel, you're the worst. But by the end of this, I'm like, okay, writers, fine, I'll give you the past three episodes, and her character, and...
They're setting her up. They're setting her up for the second half of the season.
They really are, and they're doing a fantastic subtle job, and I really appreciate
just
it.
Just like we didn't realize that they've been setting up Thea this whole time, and all of this stuff with her and the conflict with her mother.
Yeah.
And when she finds out that Malcolm is her father, it's going to unleash everything.
It's going to destroy her.
Yeah.
And she's going to come out broken and heal
it's incredible the foresight of these writers. The coordination of all of because it's a group of them. It's not like one or two people write the show. Yeah. Like there's a whole team of them, and then directors.
This actually is a Mark Guggenheim and somebody else episode too. So it's sort of a creator episode too.
Yeah, obviously
some
with the
of
end of it, very important.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
But we're kind of talking over this scene with Thea and Roy. Where he's trying to get her to deal with her anger.
Mm-hmm. It's actually quite a beautiful scene, actually.
It is. It's really good because it just kind of... It comes from this really natural place where he's trying to express to her, this is, like, what you're feeling is what I felt.
Mm-hmm.
It's like that helplessness, the powerlessness. Mm-hmm. And that's why he was out there beating people up, right?
Yeah.
Why he was out there being a vigilante on his own.
This is a nice, genuine moment for her.
And he's sort of
like
passing
that
on to her. And
he's great. He's helping in ways that he needs to help right now. It's really great.
Every character is important in the show.
Oh,
I think that's
so
one of the things.
And they mentioned Lila, right? Because you're going to look, why isn't Diggle with Lila? And it's like, because it's okay. We don't have to. This, the only part in the whole episode where I'm kind of like, really?
It's a bit of a stretch. Really? This was very CSI of can you enhance that? No.
No,
you can't enhance
can't.
It.
Nope.
Had it been just the symbol, had
it
she done a trace on the symbol and not the text,
I
could have believed
but
that.
But the eye, that seems, I don't know. If someone can show me how you can do that, then I'll believe it. I wonder if he ever had to actually take that off of the dummy before. So, I didn't know that this was going to be Laurel, that she was going to go to Moira. This was an unexpected thing for me. Like, I didn't know how she was going to deal with that. But this is very, I don't know, Laurel is just trying to do... She's doing everything in her power to do the right thing, I think, which is interesting. And in the end, she does. She does everything in her ability to make the situation right and just feels, I don't know, a bit broken for it.
Well, I think, like, in this moment, she's trying to get out of the responsibility that she's got. The problem here is that she's got two choices. And I think this is what it's going to come down to. Because eventually her and Ollie are going to have a conversation about this. It's, it's the writing's on the wall, right? Like, it has to happen sooner or later. She's going to keep trying to avoid it. But she has a choice. She's trying to avoid that choice. The choice is who she considers family, as she says at the beginning of this scene, or her career.
Right.
And she's choosing her career, right? Like, she is... She tried to get out of it, but she didn't try very hard. If she really didn't want to do this...
She wouldn't do it.
And then she goes... Like, she is tenacious in the court scenes later.
Because she's good at her job, and that's one of those things that we... And it, I think it was... It's really... She's been pushed... I think there's probably that interesting between... I love that... So, the realism of them being in their underwear, I was like, why are they in their underwear? And Mike said something about Breaking Bad.
The meth lab, cooking meth in your underwear sort of thing that Breaking Bad popularized. Breaking Bad yet.
But it's a thing. Look at that entrance! Look at that! You go, Arrow. You go. Can we start calling him... Arrow.
Yeah, we can, because Vertigo calls him Arrow.
Oh, really?
Yeah. When? Yeah, at the end of this scene.
Oh, nice.
I love that they toss over the...
Yeah, like, and just totally are... this is interesting that Vertigo says he has an allergy to killing. It's kind of nice that Vertigo... Like, the crazy ones are the ones that really... That push you, like, this is the thing that he, I think, he would get just as much pleasure. That's what was so terrifying about, you know, the Joker in the DC, right? He would get just as much pleasure from making Oliver kill him, or making the Arrow kill him, as he would, like, die. Like, it was, it's just, so that's why, like, that's what the crazy really is that it's really, and this, that was a great line, are you on the no-killing wagon?
I love that. Letting maybe it wasn't in this scene. Maybe it's in a later scene that he calls him Arrow. Yeah. But he does call him the Arrow.
And so we're on the third episode of the Blood Rush little miniseries, which is kind of entertaining.
Roy's in the hospital. Or is it a hospital? Or maybe a lab or something?
A lab of some kind.
To try and recover this blood sample. Some good humor in here where he's like, why couldn't they just label it Star City Vigilante? And he's going through and he's like, oh, what do you know? They did label it Star City Vigilante.
Which is good. Yay, Roy gets some humor in this one. I feel like the writer that writes Felicity has been, like, specifically told to write for both of these characters now in a similar... which is interesting.
You know what I really like about these is that we're getting more time with Roy.
Yeah.
And we're developing his character outside of the show.
Yeah.
Which I think is really interesting. It's a very comic book trope thing of,
but
like,
it's what the
side missions
it's
are.
It's what transmedia is supposed to do. Like, the external content is supposed to help develop the story, but it's also not integral to the story itself, which is great. It just helps you. What a great sort of sexy CW commercial
with all of these different standard.
Yeah, and now we're back to the courthouse here with
we're back here
to the art gallery. Man, it's great art gallery. We have good things there. So again, more talking about Moira having to be on trial or
testify.
I don't know how you can get away with not testifying in a trial that's about you, though. That seems odd to me.
Because you're not going to put yourself up on the stand in a way that's going to compromise yourself, right?
I don't know. Maybe.
Look, this is the thing that people don't understand about the law, is that people go into it thinking, watching shows and movies and stuff, that the point of the law is to, or a trial, is to determine if someone did or did not do something. That's not the point. Yeah. It's whether or not they are culpable, which is very different, and whether or not they're responsible. You can, like, that's why there's a difference between homicide and manslaughter,
right?
That's, honestly, that's where I thought this was going to go, is that, like, is she going to be convicted of homicide?
Or manslaughter. Or
yeah.
And this is the first, so this is the Malcolm Merlyn, the first reveal, where we're just kind of like, look at them talking about Malcolm Merlyn again. They're going to bring him up in a different way.
Yeah.
And so
his
legacy
isn't dead. But apparently neither is he.
Yeah, which is
I like that.
And
they
look
went
at her
back
freak
to,
out here about Malcolm Merlyn.
Yeah, they brought it back from last season.
Yeah.
When she actually confronted Moira about it. Because of the secret meetings that were happening, and you can't get away with that without characters noticing.
Ugh.
Because this is a very grounded real world that the characters... I love that what they've done with this show is that it's a grounded world not because of the things that happen, but because of the way that the characters react to it.
Yeah.
So, when we get to superpowers, it's not going to be unbelievable because the characters will react in a very grounded and realistic way.
That's totally...
So we can be ridiculous with vigilantes and swinging from rooftops because the characters have very real-world reactions to these situations.
That's actually very well put, and I think that, explains a lot of stuff. So we get this sort of everything setting up and pointing to Laurel is just destroying her, right?
Yeah.
This is great, right? The only threat to Moira Queen was Moira Queen. Like, that's...
Yeah.
Laurel does a great job.
Anybody was immune to Malcolm's threats, it's Moira.
Yeah.
Like, Moira had some sort of power over him.
Yeah.
And you know what? Looking back on season one, that's true.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, why did Malcolm constantly give her leeway?
Yeah.
And I think that we all felt like that there was some sort of feeling there that Malcolm had some feelings towards Moira, but that maybe they weren't reciprocated. But now we find out that actually they were.
Yeah.
That there was a relationship of sorts between them.
This is a beautiful scene between Laurel and Ollie, I think. It's one of my first scenes that I've actually really enjoyed between the two of them, because it really gets at... He just starts to get really distracted, like there's nothing he can really do, but he does try to genuinely... There's always that genuineness with him when it comes to Laurel, that he is trying really hard to connect with her, but also...
I think it's one of the things that they do to write Oliver that really distinguishes him from Bruce Wayne / Batman, and that is the part of Oliver Queen that is compassionate.
Right.
Batman doesn't have that, right? Like, he does underneath, but he hides it, right? He hides it by being... Mm-hmm. sort of a tough guy.
Yeah.
Like, he buries it deep.
Yeah.
But Ollie wears it on his sleeve.
Yeah, he's
right?
He's
very much that way.
Yeah.
And they do a really great job of showing that.
Look at this, that Ollie just knows that he can punch that guy and that they're going to be fine.
That they'll back him up,
which is great. Oh, man, this island plot is just so good.
Yeah, and he brings Sarah with them.
Yeah. Which, kind of... I guess it's good, right? We keep thinking that maybe she's going to go away, and then it's like, nope, just kidding.
Nope.
She's now on the island with them.
Yeah.
Like, what is happening to this show? Anyways, that was great, right? That she used
they
the...
They brought that back.
They brought the bomb.
Yeah, they
like,
brought
that's,
back the bomb.
Man, it's brilliant, right?
Delay.
They didn't use something
like
out of the ordinary that wouldn't make sense. So talking about Vertigo again, they don't know what's going on looking at this map. With people that have withdrawal symptoms. I kind of like the Diggle Felicity scenes. It's sort of interesting that they can hold them themselves, like it just being the two of them, and that being great.
Well, it's like I said, every character is important, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like there are main characters and supporting characters on this show.
Yeah.
It just feels like they're the characters that populate it.
I love that it's not like, what would it take to impress you guys? I kind of liked that. Here, the flu shot. Really? I didn't see that coming. It was the flu shot that caused your vertigo thing? Anyways, so it's a mobile truck that's going out. Starling, I didn't know that. Is there a mobile truck, like...
Yeah, they do that.
Flu shot thingies?
Yeah.
Interesting.
That's a thing.
Yeah. Cool.
So they've tracked the truck, and they've tracked the truck.
Yeah.
They've figured out where the truck is. And Diggle was going to go after it, but he can't because he's not feeling too great. So Felicity's going to do it, and we get the note that it's too dangerous.
Yeah,
but she's going to do it anyways. Yeah.
And then we get this reporter from the first episode of the show, which I really like. Ken Breen.
Yeah, we get it. He's still around. You don't need to mention it every episode.
I think it's cool. That
we know you think it's cool. You mention it every episode.
Fine. And this is stupid, Felicity. You're stupid. If it opens that easily, why? I don't know. This is
because
the one
thing. Seems like there's nobody around.
Okay, sure.
Her problem is in dilly-dallying about it. Like, she needs to get in there, check everything, and get out of there. Like, if it was Oliver, he would walk in, open every drawer until he found the thing, grab it.
She did.
Yeah, she kind of, look at that.
Sure.
No, you need to grab it and then run.
Yeah, fair enough.
Got another commercial break.
And holiday commercials. Fun. Anyways, that was the one. Whatever. It's, I guess it makes sense, and it's logical that she would be the one that would go and check it out. But I still, you know, I don't know. It's just, like, so obvious that she's going to obviously get kidnapped or something bad is going to happen to her. Like, she wasn't even on the phone with Diggle at the time, right?
I don't know. She went all by herself. She should have gone with Roy. There's a million things that she could have done to prevent that situation.
But you know what, writers? I'll give it to you because you're just we have, like, a commercial for the next Blood Rush thing, which is kind of cool. And now we're back at the courtroom, and we get that we're going to have a verdict, which is this that's the thing that the show always does. You're like, oh, the trial's not going to last for a really long time. It's going to be done, like, today. And we're going to find
out. But they've talked about it that this has sort of been over the course of a week, right?
Yeah.
So
okay.
this hasn't all been in one day.
Right. Okay. Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, because they had the first day of the trial.
Right.
They had the day before the trial, the first day of the trial.
Okay.
And then the assistant DA passes out, second
day. And this is so cool. This is, like, Vertigo is so great that their villains aren't stupid.
Yeah, no,
like, look at this. Like, he's figured it out because we remember all of the things that happened. It's not like, what a coincidence that you're from Queen Consolidated. That must be a big company that everybody's involved with in this city.
Yeah.
But no. He just, it's, I don't know, it's absolutely brilliant. And, and it's not that he, like, just, he just remembers him trying to buy it, right? It's not even that he had connected something earlier, right? No, it was just from him buying it. And that's just, like, really brilliant. And this is, of course, I didn't know what he was going to do here. I thought it was going to be more of a thing that he was going to have to, like, worry about.
I think that's one of the cool things that they do is that he never explains himself.
Yeah.
He just goes, there's something at the office. I have to go.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. And I wondered why he wasn't wearing his hood, but it's one of those things that the guy already knows who he is.
Yeah, there's no point.
Yeah.
He doesn't even have the makeup on.
Yeah. This is so creepy. Look at this shot.
Holy smokes. We have not even talked about it. We haven't even talked about it.
Yeah.
But this is obviously setting up the mask.
Oh, yeah, because then he will be... Because
we've seen it. We've seen official pictures of
the mask coming. And this might be, like, the reason why, because he's putting now... This is the first time that he legitimately, from someone finding out who he was, that the person got used as, like, bait against him. I think this is the first time that this has really happened.
Yeah.
Where they used somebody... I mean, sometimes they did that with Laurel, but not in the same capacity, I don't think. Like, this is... And look at this. He's just so... The Vertigo... This is the scene that saved Vertigo for me. Like, I think he did such a brilliant job in this scene. Like, I'm very impressed. And he sort of did a little bit of exposition. Just enough to sort of pique our interest. But then he's just, you know what? I'm going to shoot you. Like, that's... Right? To do this. And he just...
to do this. You know? To miss you repeatedly.
Yeah, well, that's true. And so he just, like... Right? He's not trying to do any hijinks. And he doesn't leave Felicity tied up and tries to go get him, or, like, he's, like, a smart villain. That's the thing that I really love the most.
And cruel, I mean, he's grabbing her by her hair.
Yeah, yeah. It's just quite fascinating.
Yeah. Like I said, grounded, right? Yeah. Like, it's not unbelievable or ridiculous, even if the character
best
is...
Best line in the...
Yeah, like, quiet, please, I'm threatening.
Like, so good. And that, I think what Felicity yells, not for me or something, she says, don't do it for me, which is kind of interesting.
He tosses the arrow away because he's not going to do it.
Yeah.
But here we go. Like, this is the thing is we all knew that this was coming.
This was coming.
That Vertigo would be like, oh, well, I'm going to do it anyways. I'm a bad guy.
But, like, I didn't know how they would resolve. Like,
to kill him? Oh, yeah. I didn't.
It's just so, it was so brilliant.
Puts three arrows.
I don't know. This show is really good. That's.
And she is not doing okay. So not so much fun anymore.
Right, but she... Oh, look at that moment. Oh, they both grabbed each other. Oh, that's kind of cute. When it's on mute, I'm okay. This is kind of nice. They're very cute. I'll give it. This is...
He touched her face there a little bit.
Yeah, he touched her face and she touched his shoulder.
He does... I think that over the course of, like, the second half of last season and the beginning of this season, that he is developing feelings.
He is. This is the first
episode...
It's
what he's going to do about it.
This is the first episode where I genuinely believe that he cares about her in a way that could match the way that she cares about him.
But I think, so that's but I think that that's happened now because she brought it out into the open. Yeah, we're just fast-forwarding through commercials again.
Yeah.
But I think her confronting it and saying something last episode, I think, has now
allowed
it,
him to
like, they're both on the same page now. Yes, there could be something here. Should there, though? Like, that's the thing, is that they're now asking the question of, like, can we afford to?
Yeah. And so, now we're back in the courtroom, and he makes it there, surprisingly. And we, well, we think he might have missed it, right? But then you pan around, because this is gorgeous space, by the way. This is great. I love that they keep using locations instead of sets.
Yeah.
Which is just fabulous. It just brings the world that much more real, right? It just makes it that much more visceral.
We've got our home base sets that we're very familiar with, like Verdant and the the mansion and the quiver. And his office and everything. But yeah, the then we go outside of it to real places, and it definitely sells the authenticity.
Yeah.
The, not just that, like, the set design on this
It's not about the set design. Excellent. No, 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 but it just, like, places them in a different space. So here we've got the, we're going to read the verdict now, which, look at this little bit of realism. It's not the judge that's going to read the verdict.
In there in Star County.
Yeah.
Not sure that that's a real county anymore. They don't tell what state it is, but because Starling City, not a real place, for those who might not be aware. DC and, has a penchant for that.
Yeah, and so this is crazy. Like, look at Ollie's face.
Like, he says, "I don't believe it." Like, he sort of mutters, like, genuine, himself, "I don't believe it."
Like, it's crazy. Like, how did this is, I don't know. This was a great moment in the show, right?
Yeah.
Again, because the thing is, a show would want you to not let one of the main characters go to jail, but the show did the opposite, where we're like, obviously she's going to go to jail.
How are they going to deal with
that? How are they going to deal with that? But they're like, nope, just kidding, she's not going to jail.
Psych.
And then we're like, wait, wasn't the whole episode about her going to jail? What what are you going to do now? There's still, like,
but
a half an act left.
Yeah, but not because they're just conveniently letting her off the hook.
Yeah.
No, it's, something's going on. And all, I like that Oliver gets that.
Yeah,
that
he's not
sees through
stupid.
It. He goes, no, that's not what was supposed to happen.
Yeah. And it's good. Not to the point where he's going to go, like, investigate it or anything, but just to the point that he recognizes, right? It's interesting that he's sort of troubled with that.
Yeah.
Which is good, and I think it's going to sort of...
Well, it's good intuition, right? Like, he it's one of these things where...
He's learned. He's not Abercrombie Oliver.
Yeah, he needs to trust his gut on this one because, man, so far the most dangerous person he's dealt with is back in the game, and he doesn't even know it. Which makes him that much more dangerous.
Yeah.
The fact that...
He's
that,
already... Yeah, he was the most dangerous.
Think Malcolm is dead.
Oh, man.
Makes him that much scarier.
Oh, I don't know how to deal with this. So this is sort of a nice check-in moment that they all sort of just waited at the quiver for him to get back, and now they're gonna go home. That was a beautiful moment. This is the moment that I really liked.
Yeah.
Where she apologizes to him. I just think it's really genuine, and I think it's really, or I guess she doesn't apologize, but she thanks him or something.
No, she does. She's essentially saying, like, it was my fault. I got in trouble again, and you killed it. She says, "I'm sorry."
Yeah. Which is, I think the great thing is that they address all of the things, right? And that, which is good, because in some circumstances it could have just...
And here it is, he was going to hurt you, I didn't have a choice, or there was no choice.
Which is, this is the first, just odd, unintentionally, which is unfortunate. But I guess good, right? Okay, it's good.
I like it, and then I like that we cut from that immediately to him and Sarah... Yeah.
And
then we pan around in shadows there.
Yeah.
And the two of them look at each other.
Yeah.
But we don't have time to deal with it right now.
Yeah.
But I like, who is she?
Yeah.
I don't have... We'll explain later.
Oh, it's
but,
just so...
Like,
oh, right! Because he's, like, dating... Oh, right!
Yeah.
Oh, interesting!
Ex-girlfriend who I possibly... who I thought I got killed.
Oh, man. That's crazy. Current girlfriend, technically. She died in the middle of their relationship.
Yeah.
That's crazy. So coordinates, and Sarah, this is interesting that Sarah knows what it is. So it's a submarine, and did we find out what it was?
Well, it'll be the sub that has the super soldier serum on it.
Right. It'll save the human race. Okay, right, because Sarah still believes that, and this, will it save him? Look at this beautiful, Look at this! Come on, Arrow Riders! Come on!
Flesh melted over his eye there.
But, like, here's the rut. We've encountered this sort of scary serum, and now they're gonna go maybe use it? Like, what?
On Slade?
Like, on Slade? Come on!
Who is now burnt on one side of his face.
I just don't even know, like...
Like, the it's... At this point, foreshadowing, no, we're just setting it up. They're just putting the dominoes in place so that we can get...
figure out what's happening, yeah.
Yeah, we're connecting the dots, and we're almost there.
Yeah.
Now, here we are, back to blood.
And we find out who it is. Again, I thought that maybe we weren't going to find out who it was that had hired him, right? Because we're like, who hired Count Vertigo? They're going to leave that for a really long time. Maybe it's Ra's al Ghul. What are all these things? But we're like, nope, we're just going to tell you that it's...
That it's blood.
That it's blood.
And that... They've managed to lock down whatever it is.
It's making blood bleed from the eyes.
Is injecting
it's
folks.
Disgusting.
With. I think more and more we're seeing that this is connected to the island.
Oh, I think it. Yeah.
We don't have an official connection to it on the show yet.
That's true.
But it is very clear with this guy saying that he feels stronger.
Yeah.
This is connected to Ivo. This is connected
somehow
to the island.
There's something there. Then you're ready. So I'm kind of interested to see what they're ready for, which is going to be good. And,
perhaps this is what will bring Barry Allen out of the woodwork.
Ooh, interesting.
To the forensic investigation.
Ooh. Ooh, interesting.
So there's Moira heading out to the car, out the back entrance.
By herself. Like, this is
courthouse delivery entrance. That's some really nice set deck.
Nice. Look at this, though. Like, they're setting up everything where you're like, when she got in the car, I'm like, oh, they're going to blow up the car. And then she's in the car, I'm like, oh, they're going to shoot her, or... Oh, what's going to happen? Like, they're setting it up the way that they've set up this
scene. Yeah, this moment where she rolls down the window and it's like she gets that breath of fresh air.
You're like, she's going to... Something's going to happen to her. She's going to die. I feel it. And this is the first way where I was like, you know what? She's going to get in a car accident or something. Like, that's what they're setting up. And they're like, no, just kidding. And then you're like, wait, is she being kidnapped? What's happening? And it's like, nope, she's just being brought to a place to meet somebody. And it's... Oh, man.
Parking lot in Vancouver.
I
think this is over by VCC.
Probably. But. Oh, that would make sense. No, there's like a bridge in the background or something, isn't it?
An overpass.
Anyways. But then you just get shot.
Not shot.
Like,
arrowed. And there it
and
is.
It's just...
Unfreaking believable.
Like... Exactly.
We lost it.
We didn't know how to deal with this. I don't think I've actually watched this part all the way through. Right? I learned to be very convincing, which is... Just so, man. And you get this now, this extra level where he's like, you needed my help. And it's just...
He's insane.
He's like I don't...
Because that is very much like, you need me.
Yeah.
Because he's in love with her.
There are no words. Let's just...
There
like,
aren't. There
let's
aren't.
Just, like, watch like, this bit for a little bit.
What this does for the series, what this does for the rest of this season. I mean, I was... hoping at the end of last season that he wasn't in fact dead.
I
know we came into this season with me going, is he or is he not? We didn't really get a definitive answer.
Yeah.
Then we got several definitive answers, but
we did.
I should have known better. It's comic books.
Yeah.
This isn't Game of Thrones.
And then we're like, genetics test, so it's not just about him being back. He's freaking Thea's dad. What?
Yeah.
I just look at that face, and John Barrowman is back. I'm actually stoked that John Barrowman's now back in Vancouver.
That's
like the coolest part.
Well, the best part is that John Barrowman's back on the show.
Yeah.
And
then it's like, not like next episode is going to be all about John Barrowman. Nope. Next episode is a super awesome episode with Barry Allen. Everything will change. Which maybe means that everything will change to include superpowers.
Yeah.
Is that what they mean is changing?
And there it is. There's our first look at Barry Allen.
And it's
at the Flash.
December 4th. So we get
a week off. We get a week off to... You know what? I think very intelligently planned by the crew over at Arrow that they build us up to this point. Up to the... Obviously, I mean, this was sort of a mid-season finale in and of itself.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to get a two-episode arc that they're calling the mid-season finale. But to give us some breathing room in between Malcolm Merlyn and The Flash, very intelligent, because we need a week to digest
what
everything
happens.
That just happened in the last 2 minutes of this episode.
Ugh.
I Thea is Malcolm's daughter. Malcolm is not dead. Blood has perfected this serum. They're going to do something with Slade.
Coming up. Ugh. It's just, I don't
Sarah even... and Shadow meeting on the island. Closing in on them. Just so many things. Yeah. So much going on.
Yeah. The island is great. It's honestly, it's a different show. It's like you get two shows in one with the show. It really is. And I was
talking with a friend earlier today, actually, about it. And I figured out what the genius of the island is. We get to have the origin story. Mm-hmm. And I mean, we've talked about this. The genius is that we get a season 5 and in the first season. Yeah, like, so this is season 6, but it's simultaneously season 2.
Yeah, it's
great. What's so great about that, the reason why that works, is that rather than doing the Amazing Spider-Man or the Man of Steel, well, Man of Steel kind of did the same thing, actually, but rather than spending all of this time building up to the moment when Oliver becomes
Oliver Queen,
the vigilante, and becomes the Green Arrow, instead, simultaneously, we get the build-up to the vigilante, as we get to see him as Green Arrow.
Yeah.
Like, we get the best of both worlds.
Yeah.
They didn't choose between one or the other.
Yeah.
And they could have gone horribly wrong with that, because some shows try and do that split, sort of, you know, like the flashback sort of
storytelling
that Lost did so well.
And this is the thing, it's not like it's like we get an episode where it's like 5 years earlier.
Yeah.
When we get it, we know that the island is
there's two continuities and they're visually distinct.
Yeah.
So it's just, it's done so incredibly well on this show. It's written so incredibly well, where stuff that happened on the island in this episode is connected, but is not necessarily directly related, right?
Yeah,
I think that's one of the genius things, is that they will set stuff up on the island and then they'll pay it off in present time.
Yeah.
And they'll do the opposite. They'll set stuff up in present time and then we'll get the payoff being the reveal of this is how it's connected to the island.
Yeah.
Stuff like the stuff with Yao Fei last season and the stuff with Slade and everything. Like, they do this great thing of revealing it back and forth, and that both sides of it inform one another.
Yeah.
So we're never feeling like one is there to service the other, but they're both there because they're a part of the story.
Mm-hmm.
Just so expertly crafted, and just everything they do on this show, they do for a reason. There is not a wasted frame.
No.
It's all thought out, and I think that's what makes it such a great experience every week. And when we go into an episode where, I know last week we said, oh, Count Vertigo coming back, but then this episode being possibly the best episode of the season
so far, I would say.
I mean, League of Shadows is hard to top because that was incredible.
It was. But this, like, the amount of reveals in this, and the amount of genius and planning and forethought and past thought, like, I can't get over, honestly, one of my favorite beats is just, it's such a small throwaway thing, but him releasing the Dollmaker in the prison shows such, like, a holistic view of what these writers think of when they think of this show, that everything's important. And something that I really love, and we sort of talked about this a bit last week when Sarah is now just on the island and Black Canary is gone.
Yeah.
The writers are not, it's not like Arrow needs to write for, I think her name's, what, Katie Loltz or something?
Katie Loltz.
That they have to write her all in one episode, get all of her stuff done, so they just pay for the actor for one episode.
Yeah.
But it seems like she's now going to be an island character, which means there's no reason for Black Canary to not be in the modern day, except for the fact that in the story, in the modern context, Black Canary does not need to be there right now. So she's not.
Well, like, and I think now we know that Malcolm's back.
Yeah.
Having Malcolm and her in the same place with the League of Shadows running around.
Yeah.
Not a good idea, right? Yeah. Sooner or later they would cross. And I think what will happen, I think the reason why she will come back is that she will discover that Malcolm is not dead.
Yeah.
She'll come back to warn Ollie.
That's
how he's gonna find out, right? So
yeah, we could see. I don't know. I don't know what they're gonna do. Like, I have no idea. The show is so brilliant. Like, we speculate.
We could speculate until the cows come home.
Yeah.
But as we've seen on this episode, what they have in store for us is always going to be much more interesting and much more surprising than what we think is going to happen. Yeah. I mean, we should have learned our lesson last season when we thought, you know, oh, this is, they're going to drag this out over the course of the season.
Oh, Walter's going to die. Oh, like,
and then the next episode, they deal with it.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I mean, it's
brilliant.
It is the best show on TV. It's the best show on TV.
I felt bad because we're not as super critical about the show as maybe we could be. I started realizing because I was listening to some of the other, you know, other podcasts and being like, oh, sometimes they're really critical of the show and maybe have like things. I'm sure we could be if we tried harder, but I don't want to. I want to be just like show our own.
We're definitely critical when it calls for it.
I guess so. Okay.
But I think that this show
doesn't
call for it as much as other things. Like, Sleepy Hollow. I watched this week's episode last night, and I really enjoyed it. You could poke holes in it all over the place about, like, well, why wouldn't you just do this? Why would you behave this way? Why? Yeah. Like, I don't understand why they... Like, I don't want to say anything because it's spoiler stuff, but give people a chance to watch it. And this isn't a Sleepy Hollow podcast. So, But with Arrow... Like I said, every move is thought out. Like, this is a chess game to them. They put the pieces in play 5 or 6 moves ahead of us.
Yeah.
And then we just get to watch them play it out, right? Like, it's incredible to see it unfold.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot wait for 2 weeks from now to see this stuff with Barry Allen.
Ugh.
To get the superpowers introduced. Ah. I mean, as it says, everything's gonna change in a flash, and that to me signals, you know, like, that's, we're there. Like, this episode brought us to the doorstep with him saying, I feel stronger.
Yeah.
And with them alluding to the fact that they're gonna try and use this stuff on Slade.
Yeah.
What's it gonna do?
What's happening? Happen? Yeah. Save the human race.
Yeah, and I think our next 2 episodes are gonna be the threshold. We're gonna cross it, and then when we come back in January, all bets will be off. Like, they will be able to bring in anybody and everybody. I mean,
I'm really,
which means Captain Boomerang sooner or later. Yeah. Although he's more. Flash villain, so maybe they'll save him for the Flash series. But
I was I'm impressed, and now I was a little worried. I didn't know how it would change everything with superheroes and superpowers, but I think you in this episode really got at that the show, the brilliance of it, is grounding these characters, and it's in how they're going to react to these things that are going to make it really great and entertaining to watch. So I cannot wait. I'm very excited.
At the same time, I really hope that with Flash, which has gotten a full pilot. They're going to go ahead and produce a full pilot for it, which could affect their plans for the second half, because there are 3 episodes that Barry Allen is slated to show up in, these next 2 episodes, and then I believe it's episode 20 he's supposed to come back.
Nice.
So but him getting a full pilot might change that.
Yeah.
It's kind of yet to be seen how that's going to affect Arrow in the future, but... I really hope that with that series, that they can... Arrow's been very dark. It's been very dramatic in its tone. I would appreciate it if Flash could bring a little bit more lightness to it, because that is that character, and that's his world is a little bit more lighthearted.
They would just have a killer powerhouse if those 2 shows...
Yeah, that's the thing, is that, like, I don't want another Arrow. Yeah. Arrow is Arrow, and I'm happy with Arrow the way it is.
Yeah.
I don't want it to change one bit. Yeah. It's perfect.
Yeah.
But I would love a companion series to it. That, like, in the DC Universe, like the comics, I love reading Swamp Thing, I love reading Animal Man, which are very dark and very cinematic in their scope, but then you can... switch over to a Flash or an Aquaman or a Justice League or Superman. Not that I'm reading any of those right now, because the DC Comics universe is kind of in shambles at the moment, but with the exception of those 2 titles that I mentioned, Swamp Thing and Animal Man. But New 52 is ridiculous. But that's the point of the comics universe, right? Is that you can have the X-Men in one corner doing their thing with their tone, and then you can have Spider-Man over here doing his thing, and then you can have Captain America, and it's very different, right? And the show should reflect that.
Yeah.
Right? As much as the Marvel movie universe is very much about reflecting that everything's kind of shared. But
yeah.
At the same time, they're kind of doing that.
But in the, that would be a great opportunity for them to really showcase
I don't want another cookie cutter, right? Yeah. Like, I don't want them to go, oh, everything's working with Arrow. Let's just replicate that. That's not going to work. Yeah. I think what we're seeing with S.H.I.E.L.D. is that that's the case. Is that they're trying to... They took two cookie cutters and mixed them together and to see if that would work by going, what if we put a Buffy show in the Marvel Cinematic Universe? Would that make a successful show? And I think what they're finding out is maybe it gets the ratings, but the commentary on the internet is not as praiseworthy.
I have hopes for that maybe being... potential.
I think that's the thing.
There's potential there.
We'll leave that to Sword to Phil and the guys at Sword to talk about that.
The podcast about
S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
But I think that about does it for us this week.
Yeah.
Thank you again to everybody, to all of our new listeners for joining in, being a part of Quiver.
I like had more fun today podcasting because I think I know that there's like more people that are joining in on the conversation, and it just makes me more excited.
That said, all of our hardcore, the original crew, Phil being one of them, Mel, Naomi, all of you guys,
that we read the multiple emails from.
That have been a part of the show since the beginning. All of you guys that have been with us since day one. We appreciate you guys sticking with us. You are the powerhouses that brought us to this point.
Yeah.
And now we've got all of you new listeners that we're going to get to know over the next, what are we at? This is the 10th episode of the season.
This is only the seventh episode. We have so much to go.
We have, there's 22 episodes, so 15 more episodes to go.
It's going to be so good. I'm so excited, you guys. I can't wait.
It's ridiculous. But in the meantime, you guys can catch up with us.
Mm-hmm.
For those of you who are new, you can go back and listen to all of our previous episodes. You can get those on iTunes.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can find them and find the subscription link at quiverpodcast.com, our home on the internet.
Which we probably will start having news on soon.
We have some news posted up there now. Mm-hmm. And we're going to try and be a little bit more vigilant about that now that we... Have all of your attention and people helping us out with that.
And I mean, it becomes this podcast has the power to become an awesome powerhouse for Arrow because it's all about, you know, the conversations that the community has and sending ideas, and then we're able to post news faster and talk about things faster, which is great. So
You can get in contact with us by sending us email, mail@quiverpodcast.com.
Mm-hmm.
The best way to do it.
Yeah, definitely. Especially if you have spoiler-laden things, try to email us so it doesn't go on our Facebook page. But we want you to go to our Facebook page, so facebook.com/QuiverPodcast, and engage in conversation with us. We also have a Facebook group that you can find the link to through the Facebook page. And on that group, we really encourage conversation and dialogue about the show, and people talk about the comics that they should be reading. But we do really try, you know, we're on the West Coast. We like to maybe, you know, for 24 hours not have a lot of spoilers on there. So we do try to keep that happening, but also encourage conversation as much as possible, especially on the group. If you are interested in being more active part of the community and talking to all the other Arrowheads, you can pop on over to the group itself and ask to join. And then that's where the conversation's really, you know, me and Michael jump on there and talk about what comics we're reading or what are some good plots. And then also tweet us. If you want to have a conversation that way, we're at Quiver Podcast.
So we're going to try and be more active on Twitter and all that stuff. So, at Quiver Podcast is our Twitter. My Twitter is at ArkWulf, ArkWulf.
And you can find me at Akonkin, Akonkin. We love having conversations with you too. That's actually one of my favorite things is when I get tweets about the show or have conversations about things coming up. So, and how I find out about all the awesome other stuff happening on social media. I think there's a couple really good tweeters that's what I get to my phone. So if I get a tweet, I automatically know to go to Stephen Amell's Facebook page and check it out. So thank you for that, everybody. Thank you for having conversations with us. Thanks for tuning in each week.
Thank you to Stephen Amell
for being the greatest, the greatest actor in Hollywood or Vancouver.
Hollywood North.
Ameliwood on Twitter. Yeah. So thank you to that. And thank you, Arrow Writers, for just making an awesome show.
Yeah, for giving us a reason to come back every week and talk about it.
Yeah.
So, like I said, that's it for us this week. Mm-hmm. We will catch you guys in 2 weeks. So, next week, no episode, which means no quiver.
Yeah.
But we will be back 2 weeks from then. And we've got some awesome stuff in store, obviously.
Yeah.
Coming up. So, so stay tuned.
And we will talk to you soon. Stay sharp, Arrowheads.
Would you look at that? I'm already on the Arrow IMDb page.
What?
From last week.
Oh, okay. No, I thought you were on the Arrow IMDb page. I'm like, how did that happen?
Your listening skills are the worst.
No.
They really are.
The context of that.
Because you hear things incorrectly.
No, like,
you heard all of the words, but your brain is in a completely other place.
Because
from
my
the
brain,
present.
When you're thinking, when I think about IMDb, I think about getting on the IMDb page, so my brain automatically goes there first.
That's a very egocentric way to think of things.
No, it's how I have to. I have had, like, 17 emails in the last, like, 3 weeks about IMDb.
It's a good excuse.
Because we're updating IMDb for Blindverse, so it's where my brain goes. And then I got jealous because you were on the IMDb page.
I'm not on
IMDb. Oh my god, CW Arrow retweeted you.
Just now?
Sweet! Yes!
Nice.
What? Nice! We need to... This is... Social media is the best!
We have been so lax on it because I didn't think anybody cared.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, I was like, oh, this is good. We're building a nice following.
Yeah.
In 5 years, we'll have a few hundred people with a good half a dozen or a good dozen loyal followers who chat with us or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, all the people that are with us now.
Yeah.
No. No. Kaboom!
Like, yeah, like
just
what
blown
is happening?
Wide open. I was saying to my dad, like the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
We interviewed Andy, and we were like, "This is awesome!
Mm-hmm.
Like we're working our way up.
We're gonna
start with Andy, and then we're gonna go to like the costume designer, and then maybe like the set decorator, and then maybe like one of the writers, and then possibly an actor, right? Maybe we'll get to talk to a guest star. Maybe someone that we happen to know
who's on it. Yeah, that's what I was waiting for. I was waiting for like the day that someone we know like was on the show and bring them in to interview them.
But then Stephen Amell, being the wonderful, charming, amazing human being that he is, just goes, no. We're gonna skip all of that. We're gonna go right to the white whale himself.
Oh.
Like I said in that email, like day one, that was our goal. Like we sat down. I remember the first day we were recording. We were like, we're gonna do this because then hopefully one day we're gonna get to talk to what's his name again? And we had the cheat sheet.
Yeah, we're like Stephen Amell.